Hey, food friends, and welcome to the Food Founders Podcast, your number one spot to get mentoring, guidance, and behind the scene learnings to help you understand what it really takes to launch, grow, and scale your packaged food or beverage business. On the show, you'll hear from food founders at various stages of growth, and you'll hear from me and my 14 years of packaged food and beverage experience. Each episode is packed with insights, inspiration, and learning to help you on your food business journey. I'm your host, Ainsley, and this is the Food Founders Podcast. Jump into today's show, I want to thank our sponsor, the Food Brands That Sell program. Food Brands That Sell is a six-week deep dive into the CPG industry and teaches you how to win within that industry by creating a brand that you, retailers, and consumers love. Here's what a recent alumni had to say about the program. I am so grateful that I chose to do Food Brands That Sell. I learned so much about myself, my journey, and my company. These 6 weeks changed how I'm doing my business, and I can see the difference already. I no longer feel alone. If you aren't already on the waitlist, hop on over to foodbrandsthatsellwaitlist.com or grab the link below to make sure that you are first to know when the program is accepting new students. All right, let's dive into today's episode.
Hey, food friends, and welcome to the Food Founders Podcast. Today, we are talking about Top Note, the award-winning mixer and mid-calorie soft drink brand that is really making a big splash within the beverage industry. We are joined with co-founder Mary Pelletieri today, and we're going to be diving into how the brand landed, where it has, the impact that they're making, how they're connecting with consumers, and just how they're winning all these awards with this delicious, refreshing beverage. Welcome to the Food Founders Podcast.
Thank you, Ainsley, for having us. I'm excited to be here.
Could we open it up and you just share a little bit about how we landed on Top Note? You have a very impressive history within the brewing industry. Maybe you can dive into that a little bit and what led you to actually create Top Note.
Sure. The name Top Note means flavor. And I was essentially the head flavor nerd at Goose Island Beer Company in Chicago for years. I was their quality director as well as heading up their new product development team for a short window of time. So we oversaw projects like Bergman County Stout and Sophie and Matilda, some wonderful beers that required a lot of not only training and quality, but training in flavor chemistry. And I think I just became a flavor nerd in general about beverages. Top Note means flavor. And I was working in the brewing industry and just couldn't drink at a moment in time when I got pregnant and discovered frustratingly there was nothing considered a non-alcoholic product in restaurants at the time. Now that's changed, and it's changing. But I do believe I was ahead of the curve a bit, thinking, this has got to change. At some point, non-alcoholic beverages have to become more crafty, more flavorful, more hitting consumer needs, lower sugar, that sort of thing. And around 2014, 2015, I started crafting my own tonic water syrups in just my kitchen, taking kind of my craft beer ideas and bringing them into my kitchen. I was still working for a brewery, but it was a large brewery at that point. And I just thought it was time for me to try on a new hat, which would be an entrepreneurial hat, and see where it takes me. I wasn't afraid of the growth, wasn't afraid of the failure. It is like diving into a big pool and not exactly knowing where to swim first. That's how I would put it. But we did do that. We just took one step at a time. We dove in. We started as a syrup manufacturer and then eventually raised some money and started in the soft drink side, so the sparkling side, which is what you have in nicely unboxed for us. We've always put ourselves out there to see how we would do in the awards circuit, and we've always done very well. We got the one that you're drinking, our Indian tonic water, 2 weeks after we launched it. We happened to send our first samples to the Specialty Food Association. And that's in New York City. It's basically a bunch of high-end, high-caliber chefs and bartenders tasting products. And we won the Sophie Award Best New Mixer. There it is.
Wow.
It's like winning a platinum or an Oscar. So we were shocked that we accomplished that just so early in our brand. And we just kept entering competitions. We recently won a double gold for our classic tonic water, which we could talk about the differences in San Francisco last year. We hope to repeat this year. But that's a very hard medal to earn. Again, it's all these wonderful, challenging bartenders and somms tasting your products. They're going to challenge every product. And they all golded us, which means we double golded. So it's a big honor.
Wow, that is incredible. Congratulations. That is not easy to do. And you've consistently been winning these product awards. And I get it, trying this. Like, I love you. When you talk about the brand, we talk about the top note and the flavor and the like ephemeral essence that comes when you're first like having a sip of something. And this definitely has that. It's different from a smell perspective, from a taste perspective. I wasn't exactly sure exactly what I was going to get, but I was definitely pleasantly surprised with it. So it's not surprising that it has won a bunch of awards in terms of just its nuance. And because that's what it is. It's the nuances that it offers, which is very different than a lot of people just aren't used to that. You're not getting that.
A lot of people buy mixers pretty much to mix with alcohol, obviously to dilute it somewhere or another. One thing that we discovered with mixers is many times they are low on flavor, but high in sugar. So we doubled the flavor and lowered the sugar. Mm-hmm. And that makes them mixable. So you can still dilute them. You can still add ice. You could add a juice if you prefer to go that route. If you want to just drink them on your own, you can do that as well. But they're going to give you enough flavor that you're satisfied in any drink. That was our goal. I love drinking tonic water at home or tonic water with a little cucumber in it. It's delicious for me. I wanted something that I could drink on its own. Every tonic water we've created, it was with this idea that it's a more sophisticated soft drink. Mm. It's going to be something that people can go to if they're not drinking. And it's also something if you are drinking with a more premium spirit, you wouldn't feel bad about blending it down.
Right.
Because it should enhance the spirit without overtaking it. So we don't overtake your drink with sugar. We won't overtake your palate with sugar, but we will surprise your brain with flavor. And that has always been our goal. It's what Top Note means.
And talk to me about the strategy for continuously like entering competitions. And that was obviously a very intentional piece that you had done right from the beginning. Why did you see that as an important part of Top Note's path?
It's not very easy to create credibility in this category. You have to pay a lot for different ways to get into people's minds. And you can do that. You can pay for distro. You can pay for large events. You can do all those sorts of things. We don't have that kind of capital. We were always fundraised and we were bootstrapping. We just never went out for a large capital raise. And because of that, we've been scrappy. And this is just one way to get your name out there, to continue to build on that credibility. When bartenders see that, oh, wow, these folks have won multiple awards and they discover it in that way. I think especially from other bartenders, we've grown pretty much because of organic word of mouth. There's a really nice, deep root of the brand that you're building. It may not be easy. It certainly isn't for us, but it is something that's going to be more sustainable because people like to discover. It takes time, ultimately, for brands. That was something that we came to a conclusion during COVID, but also before that was it just takes time for brands to really get established, to really take root, to really formulate in people's mind, this is high quality. This is something that is worth seeking out. And it's not just something that was paid to get in front of me. Because many times those things don't, I've seen so many brands come and go since we got started. And they had a nice PR push. They were out there, but they didn't last. And they didn't last because they weren't crafted with great flavor to start. And they really weren't building that credibility to keep going. Really, it's their strategy. It just has to be. to, you know, we've decided to spend our capital for marketing right now. Right. We want to get out there and reach more consumers. You mentioned how we are reaching our consumers. We really do that through our bars and restaurant partners, as well as other distillery partners that we have. We mostly work on the craft spirit side, but we try to do promos to support the branding and really through our alcohol beverage distributors and get our products out there in bundles. So people see us, try us, use us in a cocktail. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've grown.
I love that strategy. It's a very scrappy way to do it, which I love. And a lot of people don't think about that, right? It's like, how are you actually going to stand out, build credibility? That is a great way to do it. And that there is no overnight success with any of this, right? Anyone who says that there is, no, there's not.
It's either time or capital. And sometimes it's both. And since we didn't have the capital, we had to tell everybody.
Nope. Works and it has been working. And as you said, word of mouth has been a really big piece. I'm curious, because this is a mixer for a lot of bartenders that they use, is your efforts from a marketing perspective, how do you get them to help build that brand with you? Are you crafting menus with them? Are they stocking it in the back so that people can actually see this beautiful brand as well? Or not? Is it really just supplying it and they trust that it is going to make their cocktail better and they can go ahead and use it? Talk to me about that, because it's a unique challenge.
Yeah.
That if you're just selling direct to consumer, it's different.
The bartenders rightfully can actually choose to be very discerning when they pick up new products, and they get sold to a lot, right? So you can, and so many large brands, because there's a lot of money in alcohol, and they are constantly being looking for something new, something to give them an edge. I always say, where you're weak, you're strong. We may be small, but we really, that actually is our edge, because people trust that we are working very diligently to build our products in a way that's responsible, in a way that is healthy, in a way that creates wonderful flavors. Our smallness actually becomes our strength, in the sense that bartenders trust that. They can talk to me. They can meet me. We have worked in and out with different brand ambassadors. So that is the strategy that is very successful. It helps us certainly get our word out. And mostly our alcohol beverage distributors are the folks we work with. So there's usually a cocktail specialist on staff there. And they help get the word out as well, because they're usually a trusted bartender from the community. So we use our alcohol beverage distributors as a bit of a brand ambassadors as well. We'll run promos through them. So that's how we reach our communities. And we're only in really 5 states strongly. We are in about 7 states, but we don't work closely with some of our more far away distributors. But our Midwest distributors, we work strongly with.
And is there a specific type of food service location, specific type of bartender that you guys are going after, and you communicate that with your distributor? And how do you get your distributor to stay true to that?
That's not the easy part. The type of bartender that discovers Top Note, and usually it goes with them no matter where they are. So that's one thing that we've noticed, is that people are, oh yeah, I've had Top Note. I had it at this place. I'm bringing it in here. That's a wonderful thing. But that type of bartender is usually, they're going to be maybe in the trade for several years. They've tried a lot of products. They understand quality. They're mixing. They understand they want value, but they also want really high quality. And so it's usually a cocktail bar of some sort. They may be serving a gin and tonic service, a special. Sometimes it's a wine forward restaurant that wants really high quality tonic and club. We're in several Michelin star restaurants, as well as James Beard award winning restaurants, because those might be more wine forward, but they still need to have a tonic water. They don't have a soda gun. So that is something that they're going to have something behind the bar, and they want to show the best quality. Hmm. So it's another reason why that credibility piece and keeping winning those awards is so important. Because you want to hold those positions and it establishes the brand. Yeah, but those are the types of places that we're mostly in. So we call it the tip of the spear strategy. There are some other bars and restaurants that we connect with, and that's we're excited to be working soon with Gordon Food Service, which is a large hospitality group. Service is more large hospitality brands. We do have a bag and box version of what we do, and that's unique, different. And we like to say it's not often you have an award-winning tonic water and a soda gun, but some bars recognize that is a great value. It's about the same cost as the large companies. So that's also one of the benefits of working with Topnode is that we have bag and box. It's a little different clientele. It's a group that might be working with large amounts of cocktails that still want to make really high quality. So they're pouring a lot and they want the speed of service. They don't want the waste of the bottles. And bag and box is a great way to pour a very sustainable cocktail. You're not really buying the carbon to get the bottle and the water to you. It's a great way to do it. So we'll start with Gordon with bag and box. But we've been servicing lots of bars with our bag and box ginger beer and our classic tonic water for years.
Okay. And I'm curious, I want to go back to you mentioned earlier that you started out with syrups and then moved to this. What led to that pivot?
It wasn't necessarily, I see a lot of brands still with syrups going into sparkling. I just saw another wonderful tonic brand in the East Coast doing syrups and they have a tonic and a ginger beer. And I think that's cool. And there's some really nice high quality cocktail syrups that are coming to the market again. We got into it, I think, too early to stay in it. And we're also in the Midwest where I think the convenience of having the ready to serve bottle was something that our consumers and farmers market said, I love this, but I want it pre-mixed. I don't want to have to mix it at home. We had our ginger beer and our tonic water in a syrup form and folks gave us that feedback. It's funny how it's like that was a decade ago. So now suddenly we're like, oh, we need to make those again. And that can happen. We see that there was a scalability thing too. That was a challenge to consider how we're going to reach enough. Really, they were specialty stores that were selling those things at the time. How are we going to reach enough? We were selling online. It was a highly profitable SKU, but it was all hand done. We actually built a small syrup kitchen, and we were making our own handmade tinctures and making our own syrups and mixing it all together. It's just at some point we said, this isn't scalable. We need to maybe totally make the pivot to ready to serve so we can focus there. And that's what we did. It's also something challenging, I think, for retailers to have too many SKUs selling the same sort of thing. That's something we didn't want to compete with ourselves on the shelf.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you were doing that all by hand. The Topnode as it is right now, do you guys own your own facility? Do you go through an external facility? What does that look like from a production and manufacturing perspective?
Yeah, we use a co-packer.
Okay.
We're in the East Coast right now, Pennsylvania. And that's the best move for us. So we don't have to manage that process and have that high amount of capital on our books. We have a process that we've been building out for some time, trying to find different ways of creating different types of products. We've dabbled with soft drinks and cans, for example, and find ways to work with craft brewers, because that's actually where I came from. There's more and more capacity on craft beer lines. That might be something that we choose to do in the future is release a product line with a series of craft brewers.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. And I'm sure your history within the industry has just also served you so well in terms of knowing some of these ins and outs, not only from a flavor perspective, but just from knowing the industry as a whole. Do you think that allowed you to fast track some of the success that you guys may have experienced?
I think it allows us to think more critically about launching anything new. I think pure marketers are a little bit more free from that. In some ways it's good because we know how to do it and we know where the pitfalls may be. We try to manage around those. And some people that are pure marketing, just throwing a brand in the market, find those things out the hard way. But yet, at the same time, they're free. And we've really worked on being traditional in what we're doing, but with a twist. All of our products, we have three tonic waters, a grapefruit soda, ginger beer, and a club. We've always said, let's just do a modern classic version of mixers and innovate once we get that established. So that's, we haven't really gone out and tried to find some amazing functional product to go into mixers. Tonic water was always functional. In my mind, it has quinine and it has to be fit for you. So we always just said we're going to create modern mixers with less sugar and have our own kind of craft spin on it. Our craft beer minds can put our own spin on it. And that's what we've done.
I love that because you stay really true to what makes you guys stand out, where that you can compete, where you can win, and it allows that credibility to continue to build because you're not all over the place. It's like very clear what you stand for.
Very easy to get drawn into different things. I'm a tea lover. I'm drinking tea right now. My very far background was I was a botany major at North Carolina State University. And loved plants and loved how people use plants for health and wellness and wanted to learn more about that. I ended up getting a master's degree in public health, but I've always loved flavors and plants and I'm always looking. It doesn't mean we're not looking. We keep a very close ear to what's going on in industry, to innovative ingredients. We just want to do what's right for our brand, which is really built around flavor and very well constructed flavors. Every single product we make is extremely different. So you have the Indian tonic water in your hand. If you tried our classic tonic water after that, which is the green labeled one, you'll find it tastes completely different, has completely different mixability. And that is a standout from what's in the market. If you try the European brands, they come from a world, nothing wrong with it, but they come from a world that's very strong in gin. They drink a lot of gin.
It's true.
A lot more than we do per capita. And they design their lines. If you look at what's on the shelf, there's multiple tonics. They're changing it for the U.S. market a bit, but we held at three tonics. We haven't created more. Yes, we could create an elderflower tonic. We're considering doing a pink tonic water. There's things we could still do with tonic water, but there's only so much, and we want to make sure we stay true. If we do those things, they may be in bartender release. We've done those in the past where it's a one-off. And bartenders like that too, something special and new. But we are staying innovative in the sense that we're watching what's going on in botanical essences and what's happening in teas and coffees and that sort of thing. Because we know that there's innovation in our future. That's for sure.
I'm sure with your background, it's hard not to just want to tinker around a little bit. I'm sure you're tinkering all the time in your own kitchen. And it takes a lot of discipline to also be like, no, we're sticking with this, right? Until the right macro cues come in to say, hey, this is like maybe a larger opportunity. Sticking to it when offering that to the...
Yeah, it takes a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
One thing that I've long loved is our ginger beer, but I've been playing around with different ways to ferment ginger, for example, which is a very traditional drink. It's delicious, but I'm like, it's not something we can just go and do. Craft brewers have a lot of latitude to do that. Again, stay innovative, stay fresh, keep in your mind what you want to keep at, but you got to focus on your brand and keep your brand. That's also fresh to people. And that's something people remind me. Sometimes people forget you're still fresh and new with a lot of folks. So stay that route and keep getting those key points, those key messages to people.
And I'm curious, what does your team look like right now? Who are some of the core pieces?
Yeah, we've had larger sales teams in the past. Right now, it's just my co-founder and I and a support person in logistics. We do work with contractors, though, in marketing and in sales. And we expect to expand that next year. And we've got some really key folks on our board that have worked in beverage all their lives. And that's actually been helpful, too. We feel like we've got a good support team right now. We are off to the races, raising money again. I just read another article about how capital raises have been down for this industry. So we did take some time off from that. And I'm just churning that energy back into that because it is time for us to raise once again and put more energy into our brand with sales and marketing and kind of build another staff. So that's what we're working on now.
For anyone who is listening right now and they're curious about where they can get this, what are some of the key locations that they might be able to get this in, some of the bars that they're in, or maybe online? I know I shared this online recently because I was very excited to try this, and I already had people asking, like, where can I get this? So I'm sure people are very curious.
Yeah. One interesting channel where we've been found has actually been in coffee houses. So any coffee nerds listening, reach out to us. You can buy us on, if you're a retailer, you can buy us on Fair Marketplace, which is a wholesale marketplace. We are also, as I said, we're launching with Gordon Foods. We're in multiple states. That's all online, mostly the Midwest, Illinois, Wisconsin, Missouri, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio. So those are our core states. And we have distribution throughout those states. So if anyone's seeking us in the bar or restaurant trade, those are the ways to find us. If you are seeking us as a consumer, you can find us in a local Whole Foods if you're in the Midwest. And if they do not have it, you could ask. So if you're in any one of those Midwest states, you can ask. And we are found in multiple, I would say, if your total wine to the world, we're not in all the totals, but so that's the sort of place you find us, is liquor stores or in Whole Foods and in some co-ops. So that's our landscape right now.
Got it. And I have to ask, what is your favorite mix and what's your favorite cocktail to make with it?
But one more place to find us, Mariano's in Illinois. So if you get going there, that should be in the next month or so. My favorite, that kind of goes with the weather, I think.
Fair, I get that.
Yeah, you know, it is cold right now where I live. I tend to lean more towards the ginger beer this time of year. I love our grapefruit soda year-round because it is quite tasty. And I drink our bitter lemon nearly year-round because, to me, that's like my adult version of Sprite.
Nice, yeah.
We did launch a cola and lemon lime. You can find that online. So we are online at topnotetonic.com. And those are in cans, and the cola does give me a pick-me-up in the afternoon if I need it. Those are really wonderful botanical soft drinks that we went back to old recipes for. So those are really fun. Yeah, I think it really depends on the time of year, the time of day, but anything from a warming drink during the winter to something light and refreshing. So I tend to go more towards the tonics than come June and July.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I had a sip of the grapefruit the other day and I was like, ooh, this is so good. And I've tried this one. I can't wait to go through the whole portfolio. And I'm not drinking at the moment, but I can absolutely imagine mixing this with some gin or whatever would be really delicious. And
we've got all sorts of recipe suggestions online. That Indian tonic water that you're drinking right now happens to be the one coffee houses like. So an espresso tonic with that is delicious. If you do have some of those non-alcoholic spirits in your house, they all taste so good with Top Note. It's something about the mixing of some of those vegetal and herbal aromas that come with those, with kind of a fresher citrus pop that our brand tend to have. Yeah, the classic tonic water, you'll find just lemon lime deliciousness. You just put a lime in it and just drink it. Have fun with them.
Yeah, absolutely, which is so great. And it's starting with a great base, which you can then go in so many different locations, like with it in your own home, with how you're making it. So yeah. I love that. Definitely can see the award-winning aspect to it all, and really like your strategy of just having that be a key piece to building that credibility and really building those relationships with the real influencers, the bartenders that are going to help push this out and help grow the brand as a whole.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Bartender friends are great.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I'm sure they love you.
And we love them. Yeah.
Mary, thank you so much for sharing a bit about Top Note. Everyone, if you're interested in going to try them out, definitely go check them out. If you're interested in carrying it in your location, I think it would be, just for me trying it, it'd be a great addition to it. And yeah, thanks for putting this out there and for sharing your story.
Thank you, Ansley, for doing the same. We appreciate you sharing our story, and we are excited to push this podcast out to our fans, because I think you do a great job. I've been listening to your past podcast, and I think you're very supportive to those starting food and beverage companies. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's a wonderful industry, and I love to see the innovation like this going out there and shaking things up.
Very cool. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right. Cheers. Take care.
That's it for this week, food friend. Thanks for tuning in. If the show helped you in any way, please go ahead and leave a rating or review of the show below. I also want to thank our sponsor one more time, the Food Brands That Sell program, the program to transform how you navigate the CPG industry and ultimately sets you up for success within it. Go ahead and get yourself on the waitlist using the link below, or you can put yourself on the waitlist at foodbrandsthatsellwaitlist.com. Catch you next time, food friend.